Good morning. This reading is from the very end of the letter of James, James chapter 5, 13 to 20, and you have it printed on your service sheet. The prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Barbara. Neil, do join me for a moment as we just pray for Neil before he shares with us. Father, thank you for Neil. Thank you that he loves you. We thank you for his relationship with you, that he hears from you. And we pray that in this time he would have such clarity as he discerns what to share with us, and that we would have ears to hear you and hearts to respond to you. In your name, amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Sophie. Morning. For those that don't know me, my name is Neil. Is there anyone visiting us today, our first time here? There isn't. Great. So I can start with this question. I'm just going to step back. We're journeying through James, the book of James, and this is our last session on James. What's God been saying to you already? What has he spoken to you already as you think about these last few weeks? Because I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's encouraged you. I'm sure he's challenged you. Let's just take a moment just to think for ourselves. We're not going to share it with anybody, but just what has God been saying to you already from the book of James? It's good to stop and think, isn't it? We can just continue on and rattle through all these different bits and think about something new, although some of this actually just feeds back into what James has already spoken about. But it's just good to stop and ponder what God has already said to us through this. Because that's James's desire. James's desire is for us to do something in response. And just as we were in worship then, earlier on, I was reminded that so often we can think about James as the kind of, he's kind of Jesus' brother, so scholars think, and that perhaps James is the goody two shoes, kind of wanting to get it all right and do all that stuff. But we can forget that James is more like the younger brother in that story. Well, he is the younger brother, but he's more like the younger brother in the parable of the prodigal son. that he didn't really get Jesus when Jesus was around. That his conversion and his understanding of Jesus, who was his brother growing up, was after Jesus had done everything on the cross. And so he's not writing this as the goody two shoes, saying we should be doing this, we should be getting this right, we should be getting this right. He's doing it out of a response that he has encountered Jesus for himself. He's realized that he needs this Jesus, that as he grew up was his brother. But in all that he's seen and all that's happened, he's realized that all that Jesus has done for him is something that he needs for himself. And as a consequence, he becomes a leader in the church, and he writes this to the church in response to all that Jesus has done. And so we need to keep that in mind, that constant challenge that there's so much to do in James's book, but it's a consequence of what Jesus has done. So as I say, James is written by the brother of Jesus, and really it's about what is the life of a disciple beyond reading and thinking about being a Christian, but what does it mean to do that? I don't know, has anyone shared the story here with you of Ario, who is the asylum seeker that was living in our flat? Have we heard the story here? Just give me a wave if... Oh, on Sunday we're not here. Let me just very quickly, because I think that it's a really challenging story. So Ario's been living in the flat in Linden Gate for a while now, and been in the process of trying to get asylum in this country. And it's been a really difficult process. It's one of those processes that you go to court and they say no or yes, but in Ario's case they've said no a number of times. But that doesn't mean it's the end. You can just go back round again and you just keep on going, and it can be an almost indefinite process. Although he did seem to get to the end, and this last time he went, which was a few weeks ago now, he went, and really the court, the argument that the prosecution was bringing was, is Ario really a Christian? Is he really a Christian? And so the argument back was, well, he goes to church. Of course he is. And the prosecution saying, is that enough? Is that enough to say that he's a Christian and therefore he should stay in this country? Because if he is a Christian, if he goes back to his country, the likelihood is he will be killed. And so that's the argument. And we think about it and we think, wow, if that was me, if I had to stand up in court before a judge and the prosecution was saying, I know he goes to church, I know he's a vicar, but is he a Christian? How do we see that in our lives in response? And that's what James is trying to write. He's trying to write to us and challenging the people at that time. What does this thing look like? Particularly in the context of trials and difficulties, particularly in the context of a community that is not great with each other, is gossiping with each other, is having a go at each other. He's saying, what is it to be a Christian in response? And so we come to this final passage, this final section of this letter. And you can tell James is not a pastor. There's no nice little ending. There's no kind of like, love to everybody, hope everyone's great. Oh, love, 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 love. It just kind of ends. It's just like, boom, job done, finished, let's get on. It's brilliant. But he finishes with three things that I think for us to think about this morning. There's three things there. In the midst of difficulties, in the midst of difficult relationships, there's three things that he just wants to remind the people who are reading this letter at the end of his letter. The first thing starts with a question. I'm not going to get you to put your hands up, but you might answer this question. Is anyone in trouble? Is anyone in trouble? The first thing he says is pray. We need to be a people who pray. That's the response of faith. That's the response of a relationship with Jesus, is that we people who pray in trouble. And so are we a people who pray, who people who connect with God on a daily basis, who were engaged in a conversation with him. Because that's what prayer is. Bringing the needs of the people, bringing our own needs, bringing the needs of our family and our friends. Are we a people who pray? And he goes on to say, if you're happy, bring songs and psalms and singing. And he talks about sickness, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But he comes back to this idea of prayer. And he reminds us that because of all that Jesus has done, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer changes things. The Archbishop of Canterbury recently quoted it, and he quotes it a lot, that prayer changes things. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's not just a kind of, it makes us feel good. It changes things. And he just reminds us of a story from the Old Testament. So it says, Elijah, remember Elijah was a human being. And so the story of Elijah is from 1 Kings 17, 18, and a bit into 19. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. But he was someone who knew God, who had a relationship with him. So it talks about, and the first bit we really see of Elijah is this declaration that it will stop raining, that there a drought will come that lasts for 3.5 years. Does he do that because he thinks, I fancy a drought today, let's pray for a drought? No, he does it because he knows what God is doing. God is wanting to speak to the people in that place. That's what a prophet does. He brings the word of God, verbally and physically. And we see that through all of the prophets of the Old Testament, that often they had to do something physical as well as speak to demonstrate what was going on. But he shared that because he knew that's what God wanted to do. But it was a declaration. It was a prayer. It was a speaking out that this is going to happen. And it did. And God used that to speak to the kings and to the people of that time. So we come in prayer. We come with the things that we have. The people who are in trouble. The situations where there's trouble. The local and the global. But we're asking God, what is he saying? How does he want me to pray? What does he want me to pray? Because we've prayed the prayer already today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what does it look like for the kingdom to come in the situations that we face and the situations we see on the news, however big or small? That we might feel that our prayer couldn't do anything at all. The situations that we see with Brexit and all that's going on in our news and the chaos in a government. Would our prayer make a difference? Yes, it can make a difference. So let's be a people who pray. So that's James's one of his final challenges, is that we are a people who pray. Secondly, that we're a people who seek healing. He specifically talks about those that are sick. And sickness is a really difficult subject to talk about because we've prayed for people. We're a community that have prayed for people and they haven't been healed here on earth. And so it's a really tough, difficult conversation, and probably we all face and know people who are in that place, and our heart's desire is for them to be healed. But James tells us that we should pray, remembering that things change. But not only pray, but in this context, he also says to bring, let them bring the elders to them. There's a sense in which the person who is sick asks, requests. So there's ownership. It's not a kind of, I know this person who's sick, can you come and pray? But there's a sense of ownership from this person. But they're seeking healing. And that we should be a community that seeks after healing, recognizing that sometimes that healing will come when they're in heaven with their Savior and they will be completely healed and restored, because Revelation tells us. And so there's a sense of that in being raised up. It says that he will raise us up. And so we may not see it here on earth, but it doesn't mean our prayers are not answered. But we do see it here on earth as well, because Jesus tells us to do that. But there's a sense in this as well that we don't just, when we read sickness, we think physical. But in James, what he's talking about, particularly moving on there, it talks about, and a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And then he moves into this sense of if they have sinned. And some people talk about, well, that's why they're sick. They're sick because they've sinned. Actually, that's not what James is saying in this. He's talked about sickness and praying for sickness, but his sense of sickness in the second part of this is a wider sense of sickness. It's physical, it's mental, it's spiritual. And what he's talking about is the sense that sometimes part of the things that are going on, some of the wrestles that we have in our heads, some of the physical manifestations of sickness in our bodies, sometimes they are connected to stuff that we've got wrong. Either on a massive scale, that we're just a broken people that needs a saviour, and sometimes it's our own stuff that we just carry. And so he says one of the solutions is to confess, to speak it out. Speak the stuff that's going on in our lives. Don't carry it. Don't hold on to it. Speak it out. It's scary to do it. It feels dangerous, because what happens if people really knew what was going on in my head and in my heart? What would they think? What would they do? But James is connecting this sense of healing with the idea that sin can trap us and bring death in our lives. But he's not saying it's always. And so let's not be a community that's kind of running around as we're praying for people going, what have you done wrong? Where's the sin? All that kind of stuff. But be open to God and just say, is there anything individually that you want to bring into the light so that I can be more healed, more whole in my life? Whether that's a physical thing or whether it's a spiritual thing or it's an emotional thing. Where is the stuff that I'm just holding on to? Stuff that other people have done to me. That I'm just fed up with it, I'm frustrated about, but we just need to speak it out to somebody, to share it with somebody and get them to pray with you. And again, that might be something that you want to do today. So we need to be a people who pray. We need to be a people who seek healing in all its forms, and that part of that is about seeking forgiveness. And finally, we need to be a people with compassion. We need to be a people and a community of compassion. Because he finishes off, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring this person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sin. We need to be a people who are compassionate. Compassion often feels like we should just walk with them and love them. But actually, there's a sense of compassion which is to challenge. When we see it in each other, not because we're better than them, but because we want the best for them. So can we be a community that when we see stuff, that we think, do you know what, that's not right. We've just heard about it in James, that gossip is not a great thing. Let's be a community that goes, let's not be a people who gossip. Let's not be a people who will talk behind others' backs. Whatever it is that we see, let's be a community who challenge those things. And it brings it back to prayer. Because when we're a community that pray, we're a community that cares. If we're praying for someone, we find it hard to be not kind to them. So where there is difficulties, where there's struggles, let's turn it to prayer. Turn it to God and say, come and have your way in this situation and help me to see what this looks like. So that each and every one of us as a community together can walk out what it means to follow Jesus. As James is encouraging us to do in the midst of trials, in the midst of troubles. And it's so that he gets all the glory. and so that others see and they say, I want to be part of that community. I'm fed up of being in a place. I'm fed up about being around the people who put me down or talk about me. I want to be with the people who love me, who will pray for me, who will seek my healing. That's good news to people who are desperate for good news. So let's just take a moment and ask that question again. And it may be that the answer is the same, but what is God saying to you today? What does he want you to take away from this time? Is he challenging you, encouraging you to be a person of prayer? Is he encouraging you, challenging you to seek healing for yourself or for others? Is he encouraging you to have compassion and to seek the best of others? So let's just take a moment and then I'll pray for us. Father, thank you for the letter of James. Thank you for all that you have been teaching us about what it means to follow you. And Father, I pray for each one of us today that we would hear your words of encouragement. If there's anything that I have said that would bring condemnation, Father, we break that off now. And we speak your life into this community. That we would be a people who pray, that we would be a people who seek healing, and that we would be a people who have compassion. Holy Spirit, help us to do that. Lead us to do that. Speak to us that we might know what it is that you are doing. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.